Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Asking, what if Russia breaks the ceasefire?
What if anything? What if a bomb drops on your head right now? Okay? What if they broke it? I don't know. They broke it with Biden because Biden, they didn't respect him. They didn't respect Obama. They respect me.
Ah, the old what if a bomb drops on the reporter's head response. Yeah, it's, well, let's just say it was interesting times in the White House on Friday. I'm sure many of you have seen, heard, read about the, I don't know, blow up, dust up, fierce engagement, absolute and total charade, however you want to describe it, that took place in the White House on Friday. Now, I have a lot of theories about this. Well, actually, I have one theory about this, but it covers a lot of points. If you weren't following this, John, by the way, welcome back, John. Good to have
you
again.
Thank you.
Okay. What's my one rule whenever it comes to an event? If there's a clip of the event that's making the viral rounds, what do I always say I have to do? I have to go watch
all of it.
The whole thing. That's right. You can't just start with the viral clip. Because it's weird how people don't seem to understand context. And then, you know, if you have one clip, even if it's in this case an extended, like almost 8 minutes worth or 5 minutes worth or whatever, but still, one clip, two clips, three clips, it does not necessarily tell you the whole story. If you're going to listen to an Obama speech, you can't just catch the piece. You got to catch it all. Biden speech, you don't have to catch it. But no, you got to listen to the whole thing. And same thing for Trump. It's, you know, the one outrageous thing versus the other hour and a half. You know, you got to, the whole thing, okay? You're going to review a book for whether a book should be in the school library in Escambia County Schools, and you come to me with one paragraph that you read at the school board meeting. Well, okay, that one paragraph sounds really bad. What is the whole book like? Well, until you've read at least substantial portions of it, ideally the whole thing, you don't really know. And in this case, I think that's helpful. Now, I don't think it makes what happened at the end look, I don't think it explains it exactly, but it is worth knowing for context how they got there, because the very beginning of this meeting was super sweethearty.
Give tremendous credit to your generals and your soldiers and yourself in the sense that it's been very hard fighting, very tough fighting. They're great fighters, and you have to be very proud of them from that standpoint. But now we want to get it over with.
Yeah, so Trump is complimenting Zelensky in Ukraine.
Thank you for the invitation. And really, I hope that this first document, will be first step to real security guarantees for Ukraine, our people, our children. I really count on it. And of course, we count that America will not stop support. Really, for us, it's very important to support and to continue it.
Yeah, so we need your support. We appreciate it. You need us. You are a credit to you. I mean, it's all good in the beginning. Of course, somewhere between that and the end, things changed. And the question is, what changed and how did we get there? And what is the grand takeaway? Now, I'm going to do this. It happens pretty quickly. But in the middle, okay, Trump says something false. Now, that's not news. Trump says false things all the time. Or he says unfactual things. I think you can have a very interesting conversation about how much truth Trump tells without telling very many facts. You know, you can tell the facts or tell the truth, and sometimes you can tell the truth without telling the facts. He almost never tells the facts. He does sometimes tell the truth through exaggeration. He's a great storyteller. He's great Southern storyteller in the maybe grand tradition of a Samuel Clemens or somebody who exaggerates everything for effect, for a purpose. That's the most charitable view. The uncharitable view is he never knows what he's talking about. I don't think that's the case. I think he exaggerates for effect. I wish he didn't, but he does. He's the president. He got there by doing this, okay?
This is a tremendous amount of money, and What the Biden administration did was terrible. They were giving money, but he had no security on the money. Europe, as you know, gave much less money, but they had security. It was in the form of a loan.
Yeah, that's false. I mean, that's just demonstrably false. The U.S. has given some, well, we've appropriated somewhere on the order of $120 billion. What we've actually spent looks like maybe about half of that. But okay, Europe as a whole is $139 billion, best estimates. His $350 billion is completely insane. There's like no tether to reality in that comment. So yeah, Europe as a whole has given more. Now, as an individual country, we've given more than any other country. That's true. Why can't he say that? Because, I mean, again, you know, trying to tell a narrative of the U.S. being a massive supporter, that's true. So Zelensky, he calls him on it. He says, that's not accurate.
And really, we can help Europe because Europe really helped. President Trump said that they made less support, but they are our friends and they are our very supportive partners. They really gave a lot, Mr. President. They did.
They gave much less.
No.
Much less.
No.
At least.
No.
No.
Okay.
Now, at this point, they're all chummy still. No, you're wrong about that. you know, it's kind of where we're at. And at that point in the meeting, Trump is, you know, willing to let him say, no, you're wrong about that. They don't really get into a big fight in public about it. Then we get this really, it's not a terrible question. It's just sometimes you have to know which question you can't really ask it because it's presented in a way that makes the question look stupid, even though it's not a stupid question. And this is that example.
President Zelensky, do you feel like the U.S. is on your side, that the President Trump is on your side at this moment?
And see, it's not an incredibly dumb question because, remember, Trump has said, what, Ukraine started the war and Zelensky's a dictator and he's a terrible leader and he's said all these ridiculous things, including the lie about how much money which group has given. And so it's an understandable question from Zelensky that, you know, he might actually feel like, I don't know what's going on here. Why is the U.S. betraying us? But you can't ask that in this setting because you're really just inviting them to lie. Of course I feel like the U.S. is on our side. We wouldn't be here if we didn't feel that way. What's he going to come up and be like, yeah, I just don't think like U.S. is on our side right now. Even if he feels that, he can't say it. So you're inviting him to say a stupid thing in response to a question that's poorly conceived.
What do you think?
He wants to know, do you think that... Sort of a stupid question. I guess we wouldn't be here if I wasn't.
I think that the United States on our side from the very beginning of occupation.
There you go.
And I think that President Trump on our side, and of course, I'm sure that United States President will not stop support. This is crucial for us. It's important for us.
He's saying all the right things. All the things he has to say. The next significant development in the press conference was this insane question about why he doesn't wear a suit to the White House. Good Lord, stop it.
A second question for President Zelensky.
No.
Why don't you wear a suit? Why don't you wear a suit? You're at the highest level in this country's office, and you refuse to wear a suit. Just want to see if you... Do you own a suit?
Yeah,
problem. Do you own a suit? Are you high? Who is this?
Yeah, problems.
A lot of Americans have problems with you not respecting the dignity of this office.
I will wear a costume after this war will finish.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. After it's over, I'll wear what he calls a costume, but that just means a suit. I mean, it's just the dumbest of all possible things. But that's now two questions that if you read this event the way I read it, okay. I don't know whether they were planted questions. I don't know whether they were specifically designed questions. But if you view this incident from a certain vantage, it starts to look like maybe members of the press even were in on it. You say, in on it? In on what? Oh, wait. So Trump comes back and says he dresses fine. Let's talk about more. And Zelensky's, let's talk about more substantial things. And Zelensky's, the crux of the issue at this point, as they get into the real substance later in the meeting, is that Zelensky doesn't trust Putin to obey any agreement. Oh, sure, you're going to draw up a peace deal and then, you know, Putin's going to violate it. Because he's violated every other agreement you know, multiple times, dozens of times. It's like Israel trying to do a peace deal with the Arabs. They always violate it at some point. Okay, it's just a question of how long. And same thing here. You know, are you going to drop a peace deal? What guarantees are there of security? Well, unless you have security guarantees, it doesn't matter what agreement you put on paper, because Putin's just going to put an agreement on paper in order to, you know, get what he thinks is time or some advantage in the temporary whatever. It doesn't matter, because he is always out to recapture all of Ukraine, all of the former Soviet satellite republics, and so forth. And then you get into this is the weird part. This is the transitional moment, okay? When J.D. Vance starts tough-talking Zelensky, this does not happen. The vice president doesn't jump in off the couch and start interacting with a foreign leader of state. Like, you've never seen it. And precisely because you've never seen it, you have to wonder, what is happening here?
For 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the president of the United States' words mattered more than the president of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Why is J.D. Vance talking? This is not the Vance Zelensky press conference or press event or Oval Office gaggle or, you know, whatever, okay? This is Zelensky and Trump, the two heads of state, two peers on the sort of, you know, running the country kind of concept. Why is J.D. Vance talking? Well, either he's just trying to be helpful, or he's trying to be unhelpful. More on that in a second.
What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
This really doesn't happen. Like, you've got the vice president, scolding a foreign head of state during a meeting with the president. You've never seen this. Period. And saying that he's messed up. And then, you know, when Zelensky says, well, have you been to Ukraine? And, well, I've seen the reports. You know, like, it's just, I mean, it doesn't really matter that much one way or the other. But, so, and then you go, and then after this is where you start to have all of the interaction. I'm not going to play these clips for you because it's not important for the analysis. The question is this. Did Trump and Vance deliberately orchestrate this or not? Like, there are two views of this, right? It either was the organic development of Zelensky, you know, trying to do what he thinks is right for his country. Trump and Vance maybe don't like him. They feel like there's animosity. They want to settle the war. They're whatever. And it just kind of developed this way. That's one possibility. I think there's about a 0% chance that that's the possibility. Second possibility is that Trump, Vance, Rubio, Waltz orchestrated this. All right, we're going to talk. And all right, JD, when I pull on my collar, you know, when I tug on my earlobe, you jump in and you start a fracas. And then we're going to let it get crazy. And eventually we're going to just kick him out of the White House altogether. I think that's the answer. Because, I mean, even Saturday Night Live and their mocking of the thing made it that was the point, that it was designed to happen. And I don't think there's any other way to read. Like, it doesn't organically happen this way. It looked fake. At least to me. So then the question is, well, if it's fake, why did they do it? Why did they start the fight? Well, and here's where you have the real, like, fork in the road. Fork in the road A. It's actually a three-part fork, so it's not a good metaphor. But forks can have three parts. A is Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Trump is dumb. Trump hates Zelensky. Trump loves Putin. Blah, blah, all the liberal narrative. Okay? Possible. Let's call it 10%. Okay? Possible. You never know what's impossible with Trump because anything's possible. Possibility number two. President Trump is deliberately setting up a complete new world order in which the realignment of everything is that China, Russia, and the United States are going to carve up the whole world between them. Screw traditional values. Screw the principles of, you know, human rights and the Constitution and self-government. We're just America first, dominance, a new empire in America. 5% chance. It's possible. I mean, it's possible. I don't think it's possible that Marco Rubio goes along with that. I don't think it's possible that Mike Waltz goes along with that. Therefore, when I say 5%, I'm overestimating just to give it a chunk. Okay, so if that's 15%, what's your other 85%? It's what I said before about him calling him a dictator and lying about the invasion and all the other things. It's a work from wrestling. It's a made-up fight designed as a show for one guy, Vladimir Putin. And you better make it convincing. All right, hit me. Shoot me. So when the cops come, it looks like I wasn't a part of it. Make it look real. Zelensky is clearly not a part of this. He's clearly agitated. He's not acting. He's really upset in this situation, trying his best to hide it. I think this is all set up. I think this is all designed to make it look like there's massive animosity between us and Ukraine in order to get Russia to the table and get an end to the war. And everybody's bitten. So, time will tell. Time will tell. But here's the thing. Putin is smart enough to know this. I'm not saying anything he hasn't already thought of. He's a KGB agent. You know, like, here's a guy who understands counterintelligence and lying and deception and chess. He's surely asking this question. And so, you've got to persuade the guy who's going to ask that question. It means it's got to look really good. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, along with Five Sisters renovations, The World is Your Oyster at Atlas Oyster House, and Toast to the Coast on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You just reminded me. That's exactly why I hate working with you. It's your voice. It's your nasally, prepubescent Harry Potter voice.
I feel like Al Pacino in Taxi Driver. Are you talking to me? David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with a headline or two for us. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Well, some Democrats apparently inviting federal workers that have lost their jobs to attend President Trump's speech at a joint session of Congress tomorrow. Of course, this coming as many workers have lost their jobs as the Department of Government Efficiencies calling for mass layoffs in the government.
As we saw from the protest yesterday at Graffiti Bridge, I'm sure you're going to talk about it in bottom of the hour news. It was kind of an interesting thing to watch and listen to some of the people there talk about it. And, you know, the ongoing question of whether DOGE is trimming fat and meat, trimming meat, or, you know, killing the patient.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. After Friday's contentious meeting between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky, European leaders are working on a peace plan for Ukraine and Russia that would need U.S. support.
Zelensky says he does think his relationship with the U.S. can be repaired, and he remains ready to sign the minerals deal. He's still adamant, though, about having security guarantees, saying any ceasefire without those is dangerous for Ukraine. Zelensky adds, "We've been fighting for 3 years, and Ukrainian people need to know that America is on our side."
Fox's Madeline Rivera at the Oscars.
Sean Baker!
Mikey Madison.
Anora.
Anora wins awards for Best Director, Best Lead Actress, and Best Picture, also Best Original Screenplay and Editing. The Academy Awards handed out last night in Los Angeles on ABC. Sean Baker's 4 awards tie a record for the most Oscars in a single year. It's also actress Mikey Madison's first Oscar. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got clear skies. It is 42 degrees in Pensacola. Well, there were protesters out in Pensacola over the weekend. They were protesting DOGE's recent cuts to the National Park Service. There were about 100 people at Graffiti Bridge on Sunday. The Park Service did report 7 park rangers were let go from the Gulf Islands National Seashore. That was last month as part of the DOGE cuts. Some of those personnel included technicians and biologists that monitor the habitats and species at the seashore. There's a new chief of police in Milton, the city announcing Jennifer Frank is stepping in as the next police chief. That'll start in April. Frank will replace retiring police chief Tony Tindall. Frank is the first female police chief in Northwest Florida, the 21st in the state, but she said she doesn't want to focus on that. She said gender doesn't matter if you do the work and you hold your own. Frank steps into that role in April. A well-known Pensacola musician has died, Gwen McCrae. She was one of the first to release the classic ballad, Always on My Mind, and she died last month in a care facility in Miami. According to the News Journal, McCrae grew up singing in churches here in the Pensacola area. Her health had been on the decline since a stroke in 2012. That happened right after a performance overseas. Well, the final journey for the SS United States will end today. The ship is expected to arrive at the port of Mobile this afternoon. Once it arrives in Mobile, crews will begin prepping the ship to become the largest artificial reef in the world. She'll be docking at Modern American Recycling Services. The dock and the facility will not be open to the public. Once the preparations are made, the United States will be sunk south of Destin and Fort Walton Beach. An official location has not been announced yet. 2 people facing charges after a fight at an airport in Miami. The Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office says a man and a woman were arrested yesterday after getting into it with somebody who works at the airport. Deputies say that the two were late for a flight to Cancun and tried to force their way onto a plane. One of them allegedly threw coffee on the airline employee. Rafael Sarife Noveas and Beatrice DeCampos Maya are charged with battery and trespassing after that incident. Rafael also facing additional charges for resisting an officer. Members of the Alabama Republican Party have elected John Wall to a 3rd consecutive term as their state chair over the weekend. That happened during the GOP's annual winter meeting in Hoover. Wall is the youngest state party chair in the country. He also is serving his 2nd term as the RNC vice chair of the Southern Region. 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures warming up near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. On Tuesday, partly cloudy skies with a high near 70 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Showers and thunderstorms move in Tuesday night, going into Wednesday morning with a threat of some strong storms. By Wednesday afternoon, things clear out, 69 degrees for that high. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is 42 degrees in Pensacola. We've got 37 degrees in Milton and 48 reported in Gulf Breeze. Your next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your Money Now. The Blue Ghost lander, built by Firefly Aerospace, has gently touched down on a lava plane on the moon's near side. Firefly Aerospace is the first private company to complete a moon landing without a technical issue. A tentative agreement has been reached between ATI and the United Steelworkers, according to statements from both companies. The union released a statement announcing the six-year deal impacting 1,000 union members across Pennsylvania and Lockport, New York. Other terms of the agreement beyond the length of the contract were not released. Microsoft is shutting down Skype, the video calling service it bought for $8.5 billion in 2011. The tech giant said it will retire Skype in May and shift some of its services to Microsoft Teams. Skype users will be able to use their existing accounts to log on to Teams. Futures are slightly higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 601, the NASDAQ up 302, the S&P 500 gained 92. That's your money now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
So when I was talking to Michelle Salzman, state representative for District 1 on Friday, before we got her on the air, I said, what do you want me to play for you for music? She's like, I don't know, play me something that'll make me laugh. So I picked Dolly Parton. I thought that would be funny. Michelle Salzman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Did we pick one to make you laugh all day?
Like, first of all, it's cute. 9 to 5, really?
Right.
It's more like 5 a.m. to like 11:30, 12 at night.
I'm familiar with that schedule.
You know, it just depends. But
Yeah, I hear all these people talking about a 40 or a 50 hour work week. I mean, I would love to have just a 60 hour work week, but you know, we love what we do, so you do it, right?
That's exactly right.
I just want to make sure we get this out there before we get into your bills, because I will forget otherwise. You have a food distribution coming up March 15th, is that right?
Well, now that we've determined that, yes, it's March 15th. It's at Jubilee Church. Come on out. Anybody is welcome to get the food. It is fresh food, fresh meat, fresh vegetables, all the good stuff, a week's worth of groceries. We usually give it out to at least about 500 families. So come on out. It doesn't matter where you live or what your status is. There's no questions asked. We give everybody the food.
I think it's wonderful. And that's going to be at Jubilee Church on W Street. That's on March 15th, starting at 7:30 a.m. Until the food is gone, do be aware that people get in line really early. I mean, really early, like, you know, 2, 3, 1 a.m., that kind of thing. So, but no, it's a great thing, and you guys do that a bunch. All right, let's get into some of your bills, because you have a bunch of them filed, and, you know, session starts on Tuesday, and some of these are very interesting. You and I actually have talked quite a bit offline and some online on the radio about driver's license education requirements, HB 889. I read through this one, and I wasn't quite clear what it would end up doing, because it seemed to make it say that only people 18 and up would have to go through a driver's ed course. And that seemed to be a reduction of the requirements, but I know that's not the thing. So what is your bill actually going to do?
So the first paragraph is misleading, because it's the first paragraph, and it says it's the drug and alcohol course. So whenever you get a driver's license in the state of Florida, it doesn't matter how old you are, you must take the drug and alcohol class. It's like a 2-hour thing.
Got it.
So that had to be stated separately. That's what that is. Now, what we are requiring in that bill is if you are between the ages of 15 and 18, you must take one driver's ed classroom course. So we didn't do the lab component. This is a test.
That's the driving component out on the street, right?
Yep. Yeah. But make no mistake, it is my ultimate goal, and everybody is aware of that. But this is a step in the right direction. This bill would require these kids to have the half of the driver's ed course that you would take in school, because the other half would be the lab. And then we can take this data over the next couple of years and really look at it and say, okay, how many kids are now getting a driver's license in each district, because each district is different. And what would the fiscal implication look like if we tried to expand it to the lab portion? Because that's really what we want to do. One thing we will probably modify is the effective date, which will probably end up being next year, to give school districts an opportunity, if they want to opt in and be the main source of where these kids go. It'll give them the time to create the curriculum and find the teachers that can teach the classes. So right now, the way it stands, it's not in Department of Education statute. It's all related to DOT, Department of Transportation and Highway Safety. So there is not going to be any changes to any school district at all. But if school districts would like to do that, if they want to be the main component of it, then it'll give them an opportunity to do so. You have kids with bright futures and whatnot. They can't take a driver's ed course that messes with their GPA. So we can't put it in the DOE curriculum without really creating some spicy stuff. So the easiest way was to put it in the Department of Transportation and just leave the education component alone.
Yeah, and you and I had talked about this after, you know, I'd kind of discovered, I did not know that we had schools that were not teaching driver's ed, or that kids were going to take their driver's license without having had a driver's ed course and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you had, I think, had already been kind of working on this, but in any case, working on it more and trying to get us to a place where we have better and particularly hands-on eventually education practice for people getting their driver's license. You've got a bill, HB 743, social media use by minors. Seems primarily geared towards giving parents access so that they can do their proper role of being guardian protector of their kids on social media. Is that right?
It seems that way. I looked at some of the online comments, and we're, we can't help but to wonder what's going on in the world today. But, the idea of the bill is to, require social media platforms parental access to the private messaging. Currently, a lot of them encrypt their messages, and so you can't see what these kids are saying. What if a kid goes missing? What if there's a police investigation? Even law enforcement can't see it immediately. They have to do a subpoena. So all of this stuff is really just to open it up and create a safer environment for kids and families.
I love it. I mean, look, parents ought to have access to that without having to go through, you know, any problem. Look, you know, when you and I were growing up, if I was on the phone with some girl or a friend or whatever, and mom wanted to pick up another phone line somewhere in the house, she could. And that's all this is to me.
Oh, yeah.
That's all this is giving parents the ability to do what parents should be able to do, which is to protect their kids and, you know, monitor if they want to what their kids are doing online, which is a good thing. You also, and we've talked about this a bunch with law enforcement, but you also have, I think finally, and thank goodness, but, you know, pushing to get the minimum age for firearm purchase or transfer down to 18. Of course, post Parkland, it was moved up to 21 for shotguns and long barrels. I've asked both sheriffs. Of course, they're on board. I'm a huge fan. I would rather have the 19-year-old girl on the college campus be able to buy a handgun rather than a shotgun, but that's a federal law. Do you think this law can actually pass? Yes. Can this actually pass the Senate? Because that's been the hang-up.
I have been guided to believe that we are in better posture to get it passed this time.
Okay.
You never know what's going to happen at the end moment.
Yeah.
You know, at the final hour, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing. House doesn't agree with one thing the Senate does and vice versa. And there's thousands of bills that come through the chamber. So right now, it is my impression that the bill will pass the Senate chamber and that we will get it on the governor's desk. But I also thought term limits was going to pass the Senate chamber last year, and it did not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that really blew my mind. That blew a lot of people's minds. The governor, everybody was shocked, but it's fine. We brought it back in a different way this year. We're going to just put it in the Constitution. But so while I say that I believe it'll pass, I just have to put that caveat in there because last year, you know, the prime example, the term limits, I could not believe it. I just could not believe that we couldn't get something so simple as that passed. It's like an 80% approval rating in the state of Florida. Why would you not want term limits? But it's fine. So we're hopeful that it will move. I think it will only have two committee stops in the House. I haven't looked at its reference, but it'll be quick and painless over in the House side of it. Tyler Soroy, he's the majority leader. He prime-coded it with me. He's really excited to see it get across the finish line. His sheriff is Grady Judd. So
perfect.
He's all about it. We talked about fixing some red flag laws, like making them a little bit more palatable and this and that. And I was like, Tyler, if you put a red flag law bill up on the roster, I have to vote no on it. I don't care if it's progress. I don't believe in red flag laws. So it would be bad. And I can imagine a lot of our other Republican friends would feel the same way. So we talked about the red flag law conversation. We also talked about the open carry conversation. I'm a huge open carry proponent, but the Senate will not move that either. So, you know, so just having these conversations and understanding, you know, where the Senate lies and other things, I really feel like the 21-18 legislation should have no problem because it's really the only one we've all agreed that we all can do together. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. And Randy Fine, I think his sponsor has put in a bill to allow campus carry for college students, which I completely support. I think it's likely to die in a very quick death in the Senate, unfortunately. But I'm hopeful for that one as well. We're talking to Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1. You mentioned it a moment ago, but you did file HJR. We're talking to Michelle Salzman, state rep for District 1, which is the north, really like 90% of the land, but, you know, 2/3 or so of Escambia County, basically. But, you know, as she likes to say, it's an hour to drive her district north to south, which is true. It's crazy. But you have filed HJR 679. That's going to be for a joint resolution to put a ballot initiative on the vote in 2026. Term limits of 8 years for county commissioners and school district boards. It's now 12 years for school districts, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And this would be, it would not include current service, but when it goes into effect, they'd have 8 years after that and have to get out, right?
Correct. I don't like doing anything retroactive. I feel like whenever you put a retroactive language in any bill, it looks like you're trying to go after somebody. And I mean, I love my commissioners. I love all of our local government officials. I work very well with them. This isn't anything about them at all. So it is a joint resolution. It will put it on the ballot for 2026 when a lot of conservatives will be out voting for the governor and other major offices. So it's a good time to put it on there, and it just codifies it in the Constitution. We went back and forth and said, should we just file the bill again the way it was last year and do 8 years? And we thought, well, worst case, we can land on a joint resolution. But the way that the bills are written, you can't change it to a resolution after you've done just a regular law. So we decided just to go with the resolution. Yeah. So the resolution, everybody, the only pushback I got last year when I was talking to folks in the chamber was the fact that they were like, we want the people to just vote for it. Can the people vote for it? Can the people vote for it? And so we're like, you know what? What are we afraid of? The people will vote for it. So putting it on the ballot is just the best thing. And then, you know, if it doesn't pass, then we know that we were wrong. But it's my feeling that that'll be one of the highest pass rates of all of the amendments that'll be put on the ballot.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that conversation in a year and a half. You've also got one here on higher education, HB 1321. But if I understand it properly, this is actually a pretty significant bill and might be part of the, let's just say, lower level of harmony in Tallahassee between the governor's office and the legislature. What does this bill do?
This bill is actually, you know, I believe the governor is going to be on board with it. I spoke with the governor's staff and he seemed, you know, he's like, oh, okay, all right, cool, all right, we'll look at all this. And it's pretty spicy stuff, though, if you look in there. The Board of Governors is who appoints the folks all around, you know, for the university system. And I really don't know any of those cats, but when the speaker was like, hey, we have this bill, and I'm like, okay, and he said, well, it might make some folks, you know, some important people might get upset. And I was like, well, do they pay my mortgage? I don't. Who's important? That's a perspective, you know. And so, it's a lot of very powerful people, from what I hear. But basically, it'll create some guardrails around the Board of Governors. Right now, you know, 2 years ago we passed, or might have been 3 years ago, we passed a bill that allowed people to apply to be a president of a university in the state of Florida in the shade. So the applications weren't made public, and we did that. You know, the thought process was we didn't want people to lose their jobs for applying for, you know, such a position, and we really wanted to give people an opportunity to feel like they could apply without being in the spotlight, because those things make headlines
right.
When you apply. So we did that, but then the Board of Governors came back later and said, you know, we're going to make these votes in the shade. So now everything's done in the dark at night, and so the people of the state of Florida, the citizens, the ones that pay the taxes, they have no idea of any of the process. And the education system is the second largest part of Florida's budget, coming in at almost $40 billion annually. I mean, that's a massive amount of money to make such big decisions in the dark of the night. So the idea is just to create some transparency in government across the bureaucracy, not just through, you know, the constitutional officers. And it's a consistent message. It creates the requirement to do financial disclosures, which that's going to be the sticking point, right? A lot of these wealthy people, they don't want us to know everything about their finances. I understand that. It creates term limits. Right now, you can be on the Board of Governors as many times as you want. It will put guardrails in place as to how many times you can be president or chairman or whatever that terminology is specifically, you know, the leader of the board says you can only do it one time. It also opens up the syllabus requirements in some of these private schools in higher education. They're not disclosing, you know, the textbooks and things like that until you're already in the school and the syllabus aren't being published. And so we created some transparency in that too, but it's going to be pretty hairy. I'm up for the fight. It's really about creating transparency in the process of, you know, our higher education system.
Well, we'll wait for the conversation on that. Certainly here locally, we have directly seen the impact that the Board of Governors can have on, on things related to our cherished university. So we'll see. Michelle Salzman, she's a state representative for District 1. That's the northern, about two-thirds, three-quarters of Escambia County. The food distribution, again, is going to be at Jubilee Church at 7:30 a.m. on March 15th, but get there earlier than that. The Ides of March bode well for those who get there early. Michelle, as always, thank you so much for the time, for what you're doing, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great week next week at session.
Thanks. Take care.
Absolutely. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're looking at your lawn this summer and thinking, man, I want it to be great. I want it to be beautiful. I want it to be green and lush and exciting, and I don't want people to walk by and for me to feel like, look away, look away. Don't look over here. Okay. You can't start that solution in July. You start thinking about that now. Now is the time to call NSEC. I mean, it's March already, for goodness sake. NSEC will come out. They'll take a look at your lawn, and they'll give you a unique perspective, carefully cultivated for your lawn. Thoroughly inspected, provide you with a free estimate treatment plan that targets and eliminates common household problems, and also, you know, make sure that your lawn gets a timed program, targeted approach to get what it needs. Initial soil sample indicates what amendments will be needed. You get a plan for your lawn success. Nutrient applications with every standard service visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging insect control, and fungicide applications. Plus, you can have the option. If you want to have them do your landscaping, they have a healthy landscape program for tree and shrub care, and they can take care of that. Sign up now. Get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes the initial soil sample and lime treatment on an average yard. Sign up today or find out more at NSEC.net.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs and find the right insurance products that best fit the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement. Or if you're looking for options now, they'll be taking your calls and questions tomorrow at 10 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable. Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational battle station.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it.
I think my favorite part was the fact that by the middle of the first sentence of that song, John was saying it right along. Everybody of a certain age knows all these words. 558-year-old. 558 on News Radio 92.3. So am I. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
A certain age. What's that supposed to mean?
Are you old enough to know all those words?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Unfortunately.
Then you're in it.
Yeah. Well, the Department of Education is offering $25,000 buyouts to employees who quit by today. That offer went out in an email late last week. It gave employees until 11:59 p.m. tonight to accept that offer, which is spelled out as the equivalent of severance pay or $25,000, whichever is less. The Department of Education, of course, bracing for mass layoffs, which have been affecting much of the federal workforce lately. About 5,000 acres have burned in South Carolina. There's 170 fires that have been reported across the state. Their governors declared a state of emergency over the weekend. And a Texas-based private space company has now successfully landed a spacecraft on the moon. Firefly Aerospace landed the Blue Ghost spacecraft on the lunar surface Sunday morning. The 6-foot-tall lunar lander has already sent one image back showing some dust at the landing site.
Blue Ghost is kind of a cool name.
It really
is.
That's
kind of a cool name. I mean, that's almost superhero-like, right? That's but like secret superhero, like vigilante superhero, the Blue Ghost. I like it. I'll take it. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Pensacola Symphony Orchestra putting on the spectacular featuring the Planets and the Joyful Island by Debussy. And get your tickets now, PensacolaSymphony.com. That's going to be a great show. And Art of Fashion is coming up April 3rd.
Listen on air at night.